hello and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan. This is Brian Brown, your co-host, and as always, we are coming to you from the majestic and historic B.B. McKinney Studios. Mike, I understand that this week we had a visitor at Lifeway Christian
Brian,
Resources headquarters in
this
Nashville.
This was the most amazing thing. We actually had someone come yesterday.
A worship leader, as
I understand
leader.
It. I'm going to tell you
Pastor.
In a minute who it is.
Okay.
This person listens to our podcast all the time.
Right.
And they came in the building for a meeting with me.
Was it Billy Graham?
No, it wasn't
okay.
Billy Graham.
All right.
And the first request was, could I see the historic B.B. McKinney Studios?
Yes. Well, I hope you explained that we would have to tie a belt around them, a rope around their waist, and put bells on them. Were they to die inside the B.B. McKinney Studios, we couldn't have certain people entering.
You know,
we might have to pull them out, as in the Old Testament.
Do you know that's actually
Holy
not,
of Holies?
That's actually not in the Bible, what you just said.
It's probably a commentary that I read.
It's an extra-biblical.
Oh.
Thing
oh,
that you just
right.
said. But anyway,
I think it was Josephus.
I tell you who it was. It was Matt Boswell.
Oh, the worship
our
pastor
friend.
Came to visit. Yes.
He's a worship pastor down in Frisco, Texas, but he's also a great songwriter. He's written the Doxology and Theology book.
Yeah.
He's edited this new hymnal of lyrics
Isaac Watts. Lyrics, yes.
And he was here. He was having lunch with Trevin Wax, our Bible publisher here at Lifeway. So,
I wasn't here for this. What was his reaction upon seeing the majestic studios?
I think he was completely underwhelmed. But here's what you and I have known all along.
Right.
The B.B. McKinney Studios are not just a place.
That's
they
correct.
Are a, I don't know, it's kind of like Air Force One.
Yes.
Air Force One's not about the plane. It's
That's
about
right.
who's on the plane.
That's correct.
And the B.B. McKinney Studios is not about a place. It's about who's in the place.
And whenever we are doing the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harland, the presence of B.B. McKinney is here.
And Wait a minute.
Wait a second.
We're speaking
of extra biblical.
But yeah, here's what I want to assure our listeners.
Yes.
That when we move to the new headquarters of Lifeway, because we are taking this whole crew, that's me, you, Tim, and Chastity, we're all going, it will be called as well
the historic and majestic B.B. McKinney Studios.
But anyway, Matt saw it, and he and his wife were here, and so he'll have to tell us how impressed he was.
Yes. Well, I think possibly when the podcast is not going on, it may feel a little less historic and majestic. But anyway, in any event, we're glad to be here. We're glad to be in the B.B. McKinney Studios. We're glad to be in Nashville, Tennessee. And Mike, today we want to talk to worship pastors and pastors, but about pastors. I think
let's talk about the preachers
there's
today.
There's few things that worship leaders enjoy more than talking about the preacher.
You know what? And here's something I want to just say right off the top of the bat. We're going to be talking about the pastor's role in worship.
Right.
And it's a very significant role. We've got to say that our Worship Life event that we're doing in Gatlinburg and in Riverside, we're actually going to pay really, really close attention to the pastor's role and providing some opportunities for pastors at our Worship Life conferences to attend and to really be blessed. We've already got lined up, I think, one of the great leaders in pastor development that we have at the church today, in the church today, is Dr. Jim Shaddix, who's a professor of preaching and
at Southeastern,
I don't really even know
right?
his yeah, at Southeastern yeah. Seminary. But for years he was at New Orleans Seminary. He's I don't know anybody that has helped more pastors learn about preaching and leading as a pastor than Jim Shaddix. I mean, he's the Pied Piper.
Except for Tom Rainer.
Thank you
our
for
boss,
reminding
yeah,
me
our,
that.
Our president. But
I
yes,
was talking I about outside of Lifeway.
Oh, okay.
But Jim's also one of my best friends,
right.
and I love him dearly. And but I asked Jim, he and I have talked about this for years, and we actually have done this a little bit, where we've taught together how pastors and worship pastors work together in a shared ministry. He and I've taught on that subject. I asked Jim if he would design a track for senior pastors for Worship Life.
Okay.
In Gatlinburg, and he's going to do it. And his wife will be coming.
That's great.
And we're gonna have a whole track. And Mark Dance, who works with pastors on behalf of Lifeway all the time, Mark Dance is also going to be instrumental in helping put all that together and promoting it to pastors. So I would say to all you Worship Life listeners to our podcast, really take a long look at what we're going to be doing for pastors and worship pastors together at the Worship Life events, both in Gatlinburg and Riverside next year, because I think it's going to be a very unique opportunity for these leaders to study that and be inspired together in a track designed especially for pastors.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good word. So today we're talking about the pastor's role, specifically his role in the worship service, the congregational worship service, right, Mike? Is that
it
the
is.
Focus of
and,
today?
You know, because the pastor, I mean, historically, we've said this many times before, but historically, people have thought of, you got the music service, you got the preaching service. Right. And the music kind of warms up the congregation for the preaching of the word. And you'll even, I've even heard worship pastors say that. I feel like my job is to prepare the congregation to receive the word of God. There's some real problems with that statement just right on its face that I want to point out right away.
Okay.
Is that the word of God better be in the music too.
Amen.
It's not like we're going to do this music warm up and then the real point of worship comes. No, if the music of your church is not infused, if the congregational participation of your church is not saturated with the word of God, you're already behind where you should be in your worship planning and execution. So it really isn't that the music kind of warms up the crowd. The music is more than just the film score of for the movie
sure.
that warms up for the story. The music's more than that. The music is content itself, and it contains the word of God and presents the word of God. And so this idea that the music and the preaching are two different things that happen on Sunday, that the ministry music, hey, you go plan the music and I'll take care of the preaching and God will bless us and put it together. Does God do that? Absolutely he does. But it can be better than that. And the pastor has a more important role than that in the corporate worship expression of the congregation. The pastor's role is far beyond just preaching, and pastors need to understand that.
So, Mike, when we talk about the, we've done a podcast before on the theology of the songs we sing and the importance of that. So talk about today, the pastor's role. Are you suggesting that the pastor has a hand in what songs the congregation is singing? I mean, isn't that the realm, the priority of the worship pastor to choose?
I certainly think the pastor can have that a role and can be very involved. And I bet we have listeners out there where the pastor is completely involved in the selection of songs.
Sure.
And that, you know what? And if I was a worship pastor for church and my pastor wanted that kind of involvement, I would welcome it. Mm-hmm. Because here's the something that music guys need to understand, and you ladies too need to know, that the spiritual responsibility for shepherding that flock primarily rests on the pastor. Now, I would say it doesn't rest on the pastor alone, but that spiritual responsibility, that accountability to God for the flock, rests on the pastor. Think about how significant the music part of that experience is for the church goer. If the pastor's going to have that responsibility, and I'm going to suggest and contend that he does have that responsibility, he not only should be interested, he should be completely understanding that that's his responsibility, and he better have a lot of confidence that what's happening is meeting those spiritual obligations that he, as the pastor, has. Now, again, I'm not saying he has that responsibility alone. If you are leading a worship ministry, a music ministry, shoot, if you're teaching a Sunday school class in that church, you bear some responsibility for that. But ultimately, there is a person that bears the most responsibility. That is the senior pastor of the church. And yes, bears the most responsibility for what's happening in the music part of the service too. So whatever comfort level the pastor has with you as a worship pastor and allowing you to make those choices will determine how involved he is, how comfortable he is with you doing that without him. But every pastor should have a very, very high confidence level of that what is happening is meeting his own personal responsibility as the shepherd of the flock. So, yeah, he should be interested.
So he's got a role in the preparation. He's got a role in helping determine, or at least ensuring that the church is singing good theology, for sure. And that's all pre-service and planning. So what about in the worship service itself, Mike? What do you see the role of the pastor? Because I know pastors, senior pastors, many of them have different ways that they operate during the song service. When I grew up as a kid, my grandfather, the staff would sit on the platform in the denomination I grew up in.
Yep.
And my grandfather, I can still hear him. He's gone now singing. He would always sing the tenor part and always way too loud. But he was engaged and he was singing. I think when the staff was on the platform, it was they felt a kind of a need to be engaged for sure because everybody was eyes were on them in the congregation. Nowadays, I think that doesn't happen as much, and a lot of times I think it's caused some senior pastors to kind of check out on the worship service a little bit because those eyes aren't on them. They're not up there on the platform. That's just my perspective. But what do you think the pastor's role is in the worship service itself?
Well, one of the churches I served, Brian, the entire staff was on stage. We had matching Bibles.
Oh, amen. Just like the disciples.
We had a pew Bible that the executive staff of the church, we were the only ones that had it. It was custom made for our church.
Man.
I mean, it was...
Did you have your own parking spaces too? I like that.
We did not. We actually prided ourselves in parking the farthest away.
I can feel the humility.
To serve the flock. So, yeah, we had a designated parking place. It was about 5 miles away. We rode a shuttle bus. But I am, you know what, when we talk about this subject, I am primarily today wanting to focus on what the pastor is doing in the worship service itself.
Right.
And wow, what an important topic. It's going to depend heavily on the pastor the specific pastor.
Sure.
There are specific pastors who are singers, who love to sing, who are enthusiastic about singing, and will sing to the top of their lungs, and everybody knows we got a singing pastor. Mm-hmm. I think of a couple of guys I've known through the years. A guy like Richard Powell that pastored down in Florida for a long time, also pastored in Jackson, Mississippi for a long time. Richard Powell's a great singer himself, and everybody, the whole church knew that, and during the music portion of the service, man, he's singing his heart out. I think about a guy like Steve Gaines, president of the Southern Baptist Convention right now, pastor at Bellevue. Steve's a great singer and loves to sing, loves music, will often break into song while he's preaching, will mm-hmm. often end a service singing himself, and that's his skill set. But I also think about another pastor that comes to mind, I won't mention his name, who sounds like a hairdryer,
right?
You know, or an air conditioning vent that's got a rattle in it. And yet loves to sing, but everybody knows this guy's no singer. He would never sing by himself for anybody. But boy, is he engaged in the corporate worship. I mean, you can watch him sing. He's kind of what you think of when you think about Psalms 40, verse 3, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see it. And you see this particular pastor's song because he's so enthusiastically mm-hmm. participating. But then I also think about a pastor like Mike Glenn, who's my pastor at Brentwood Baptist Church. Mike is a singer a little bit. He can sing. He loves music. He's, as a matter of fact, in many ways, because he's here in Nashville, he's a pastor to artists.
Sure.
Our church has a lot of artists in it, both in the Christian music space, but also in the country music space. And Mike pastors those guys. He loves music. He's a connoisseur of music, appreciates it on every level. Is not a big singer himself. And in the worship times of our church, when you look at Mike, he's usually not really singing. His mouth may be moving some, but he's not really singing. So how an individual pastor approaches this is going to really depend on that particular pastor's musical interest, musical ability, and even how he approaches worship himself as a worshiper. And I would want to say to everybody out there, there's room in all of our churches for pastors of every one of those types to really contribute to the worship based on their own personal skill set or interest level or the way that they particularly worship themselves as a worshiper. There's room for all that.
I agree with that, Mike. I think sometimes the problem is the pastor, and our Vice President Eric Geiger blogged recently, earlier this week, about being self-aware, and it's one of the things we have to be aware of as leaders. I think sometimes pastors are really, Sunday morning's obviously a very busy day for most pastors. Of course, these days it might be Saturday as well, or whatever the major worship service is at your church, but pastors get so involved, I think they forget sometimes they're consumed in sermon preparation or prayer or preparing their heart for what they're about to say. Maybe they've got a burden on their heart. And I think sometimes they're not altogether aware that all eyes
absolutely.
Are on them and that people are watching them, taking cues. And so I had a friend of mine who's a worship leader who would call me every week and say to me, man, my pastor, he walks in the middle of the song service. He starts shaking hands with people and talking to them and engaging. He walks all the way down to the center of the front row, sits down, and then immediately everyone else is standing. He's sitting looking at his notes. I think that pastor's just not aware of what he's doing. What I have experienced in my life, Mike, is a pastor who will get up and say to the congregation, hey, there might be times when you see me. and it looks like I'm not engaged in worship, please know that's not, I mean, if there's a moment when I'm not joining in song, there's a reason for that. Maybe God is talking to me and I need to talk to him about what I'm about to say to you. And so I think at least an awareness that people are watching. And if you're the kind of pastor who isn't overtly engaged, well, man, it make your congregation aware of that. And
that's what I was about to say, Brian. So you're getting a little bit ahead of me.
I mean,
sorry
about that.
You're tracking with me today.
After all these podcasts, I'm starting to read your
mind. You're starting to read my mind.
Yes.
There are more ways that the pastor can be engaged than just by singing himself. And you just highlighted one of those. I think the pastor becomes the communicator and the context setter, if that's a phrase I can use, for the congregation. And a pastor who is passionate about worship can articulate his role in it for the congregation in a way that they can understand. I think about one of the great stories I've ever heard, and it comes out of Bellevue Baptist in Memphis as well. I have no way to verify whether or not this happened. But I heard this story years ago about the famed preacher at Bellevue, R.G. Lee.
R.G. Lee. There's a payday something.
Absolutely. And he is celebrated as an orator and was a longtime pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church. I've heard this story of on a particular Sunday, the music had started, the congregation was singing, the choir had done what they were going to do and all of that. And Dr. Lee had not yet entered the room. And it was already understood that he was in his study and he was not going to come out of that room until he knew what God had for him. It got all the way up to the sermon time in the order of service, and he has still not exited his office. There are people that are waiting on him, that are checking on him. He is still in his office on his knees. And the congregation waited and waited and waited and waited until finally he emerged and walks immediately to the pulpit and with clarity was able to say, God was talking to me and speaking to me about the message this morning, and I dare not leave that place until I knew exactly what he wanted me to say, and now I do, and here it is. Now, would you say he was unengaged in worship that day? Well, no, not at all. He was faithfully meeting his responsibility as the preacher of that congregation. There are lots of ways for pastors, but the key is for people to understand what the pastor and what his participation is. And what you just said a minute ago is so key to this, that the pastor every pastor should at least be aware that his participation and how he engages in worship is observed by the congregation. We would never ask any pastor to be inauthentic.
Right.
By putting on some kind of display that is not truly his own worship expression. But we would want every pastor to be highly sensitive and aware that what he's doing in worship sends a signal to the congregation. And I reference Mike Glenn. Mike often isn't singing a whole lot. He sings some. And I'll tell you this much. When Mike is singing a song, it gets everybody's attention.
Yeah.
It makes a statement that particular song is resonating with him at that moment, and that really a congregation really will respond. But well, here's what I see happening when Mike is sitting on the front row, and he's very visible to the congregation, is the congregation is singing over him. He's in a thoughtful, prayerful, reflective disposition, and you can see an engaged worshiper's heart that is just bathing in the worship of the congregation to the Lord. He's participating spiritually, but he's not participating musically, but he's participating spiritually. And what the congregation is doing in those moments is really singing over him and preparing and helping him get ready for the preaching event, which is going to come in a few minutes later or moments later in the worship service. So I would say to every pastor out there, be very aware that what you are doing during the music sets a tone and has impact. And if that's for you authentically singing with abandon, go for it. If it's being reflective and prayerful, do that. If it's being a participant or maybe even looking at the scripture or allowing the congregational worship to be breathing over you in those moments, do that. But be articulate about what is happening so the congregation will have a perspective on that. So, but I would say the pastor's role goes beyond what he is doing during the singing. He's got a couple other things he can do that can be so helpful to a church. Would you like me to tell you about it?
Sure.
How he handles moments in the worship service will be critical. If a pastor can get up right behind, or what a beautiful name, if he can get up right behind that and connect the dots about the name of Jesus flowing into the worship time, flowing into the preaching time, and begin to become that connective tissue in worship that continues what is happening in the expression as he moves into the offering, as he moves into the preaching, as he moves into whatever part of the service they might be in, maybe even as he just moves into a prayer time. The way the pastor handles those moments mm-hmm. are so critical to the congregation's experience in worship. I've seen some pastors that can't pass up funny moments and opportunity for humor.
Right.
Humor well placed in a worship service is powerful. Powerful.
Sure, it breaks down barriers. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Humor ill-timed in worship is awful right. and horrible.
Right.
Where the moment is palatable, where the God's people are at this place of sensitivity and the Spirit is moving among people, and the pastor comes and says something in a moment of awkward humor is horrible. And I would say to any pastor out there, if you like humor and tend to use humor, would you be at least willing, be willing to talk to a few people? Do I do that well in our worship services? Be open to feedback on that to make sure that you're not, I mean, the Bible talks about an unpardonable sin, and I'm not saying that this is the unpardonable sin, but I will say this is probably the greatest offense would be if a pastor fumbles a moment. And by the way, music leader, you can fumble moments too.
Oh, happens all the time.
And anybody that's approaching that pulpit, maybe the minister of education or somebody, a layperson that's making an announcement, in moments of where somebody is a little bit nervous and their nerves get a reaction from them where they tend to go to something that's not right for the moment and to kind of cover their own nervousness, can be really be a problem. What a pastor says in worship, I would say, is as and probably more important than what he does in worship. So pastors should pay really close attention to that responsibility.
Yeah, it's like you talk about, Mike, that not being two things, it being one thing. And so pay attention to the part that you're not specifically leading so that you can connect it together. And that's for the pastor and for the worship leader is so important. If you're checked out while the music's going on, you're not going to know how to handle the transition from that song if you weren't listening to it. And at the same time, if you're checked out on the pastor's message, you're not going to choose the right closing moment.
Exactly.
So we've got to be paying attention.
Stay in the moment. Yeah. Stay in the moment as a pastor, stay in the moment of worship. As a musician, stay in the moment so that you're able to flow in and out of what's happening. I mean, I want you to imagine, Brian, that you're at a movie theater. You're watching some epic story, and it's moving, and it's dramatic, and it's right up to this poignant moment in the story where this incredible thing's going to happen, and all of a sudden, the person comes out of the concession stand. Hey, we want to stop the movie just a second, just to say, remember, we've got Cokes and popcorn. I mean, you would throw something at somebody that would interrupt that moment. Well, in a far greater way, when you break the flow of worship because you said something that didn't fit, because you were funny when you shouldn't have been, because you were kind of fumbling in the handoffs between music and between testimony and all the things, I mean, you're actually doing the very same thing. You're breaking a moment that, and I'm telling you, for a worship leader and for a pastor, they need to build a wall around those moments of spiritual significance in worship and not allow anything to touch it. Because it's so disrupted what God's doing among his people.
Amen. Well, two observations, and then I'll come back to you, Mike, for a close. But as you were talking, I was reminded of. Number one, I think we can, as worship leaders, be too quickly critical of our pastors, observing them in worship and feeling like they're not engaged.
Yeah.
And what occurs to me is how many times as a worship leader, as I've gazed over the congregation and this thing in me that goes, oh, that person's really engaged, but
yeah.
Boy, this lady over here is not.
Yeah.
And yet after the service, that lady who I assumed was
exactly.
not engaged will come up to me and tell me how it moved.
Yeah.
Just and so in the same way, don't assume you know how engaged your pastor is in worship. And don't let those thoughts consume you. You may not be aware of how engaged he is. The other thought I had, Mike, was about we talk a lot about the multi-site and the multi-service. My uncle pastors a church where he has five live services on Sunday morning. He's not in any of the music. And the musicians can see on their screens, this isn't for the audience, when he arrives in the building.
Yeah.
So they have an idea. So he's literally getting on stage preaching and then leaving and going to preach to the other service and then coming back and preaching again. So there are times like that when a pastor can't be there, literally, logistically. And I think the key again is just that that pastor communicates,
yeah,
hey, it's not because I don't care. There's real reasons why things are the way they are.
Well, so here are the three things. I'm about to give you the third one. The first way the pastor fills his role in worship is by his own participation. Hmm. That is authentic to him. If he's a singer, sing. If he's a prayer, pray. If he's a physical response, do that. But lead the flock by being engaged in whatever way is authentic for you. And number two, by how you handle the moments in worship. And then number three, by teaching about worship. Hmm. Pastor, preach on that subject for our church. Help us understand the role of music. Give us a biblical admonition. Give us instruction and teaching and connect the dots for our congregation with what we are trying to do and articulate what our goals are and what our intentions are in worship on behalf of the whole church. Don't let the worship subject be something that you just delegate to the worship leading aspects of the staff. But pastor, be the lead worshiper of our church by talking about it and teaching about it, by being engaged and by handling those moments in the service well. If my pastor does those three things and he and I have a great understanding of how we're working together to do this, then together we can lead worship that's effective and impactful for our congregation.
That's good work, Mike. We hope you've enjoyed our discussion about the role of the pastor in the congregational worship service.
And you know what, Brian? I sure hope the guys listening will grab their pastor and bring them to Worship Life.
Yes.
And let's get some pastors in this conference that can help us understand how we can serve them even better and have more impact in our church.
Two locations this coming summer, and one of those will be in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, in the mountains of East Tennessee, and the other in Riverside, California. So we've got the east and the west of the Mississippi. There's somewhere for you to go. We'd love to see you there. We'd love for you to email us, worship@lifeway.com, and tell us some ways you've been successful in engaging your pastor in worship. If you've got a pastor who's great at this, we'd love to hear from you. Keep rating and reviewing the podcast. That just helps more people hear about it. And thank you so much for the feedback that you've given us. Until next time, for Mike Harlan, this is Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us on the Worship Life podcast. We'll be back to talk about worship music again really soon.